Ainsley's full house will not be heard at this time, so that we may hear from our brother from another.
This is Gordon Pepper, and yes, we're going to be focusing a lot on Big Brother this episode, but clearly, despite the artificial intelligence that there's plenty of, it seems that the human intelligence is lacking.
I'm shocked! Shocked!
Well, not that shocked.
Not even close to being that shocked.
Yeah, we're going to go over the who and what and the right and wrong of all of the week one play and some more play besides, because this week we were turning to Gordon's Tactician's Corner.
Yes.
Since we loved it so much the first time.
Well, yes. And it's going to be fun. We've got all sorts of news. And we've got punmanship. We've got wigs. We've got Kamala Harris on the show.
Whoa. How did we get the presidential candidate? How? We don't have a budget.
Wait.
We don't have a budget.
You'll have to listen and find out.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
All that and the whammy is back, too. Because it ain't the summer without the whammy. Am I right, people?
Yes, and we're going to have some
brutal...
And we also have some... And Gordon and I will be drinking from the tea bar heavily this week.
We'll explain that and a whole lot more because Chico hit it.
From somewhere in America, we love to interrupt in the dog days of summer. It's on! Let's go!
Whee!
Thanks. That's what I was meaning. And stereo. Okay. Here's the theme music.
Welcome to the episode number 455. On the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here on 5N1. This is We Love to Interrupt. My name is Jason Block, your strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, and making sure everyone is hydrated and carrying their umbrellas. Everyone making sure that they're out of the rain. Because
yeah,
there's a lot of rain.
I got my poncho. I've got my umbrella. I've got my water bottle. Because y'all people don't know this, but I spent the last half week at Six Flags over Georgia. I rode everything that was currently operational. I enjoyed it.
That's good. Can we cue Mr. Big Brother announcer, please?
Oh, Mr. Halsey, you're on.
Previously on Big Brother.
We had the first 8 house guests join the Radford Studio household and come into what is known as BBAI, or what they thought was BBAI, because the first 8 house guests had to vote on whether to have a 9th house guest in the house. That would be Ainsley, a surf shop operator from San Diego, California. Very cute, very lovely. The first 8 house guests tied 4-4, but that doesn't mean Ainsley gets in. But wait, the artificial... That's right. Ainsley is the actual BBAI.
It is the Artificial Intelligence Network Self-Learning Entity.
Yes, without the Y, which will affect the game later because the people who voted yes will get to upgrade their game. The people who voted no will try not to have their game downgraded. More on that as the other hate house guests enter the house and we have more gameplay on Big Brother. Chico, the floor is yours. What happened with the other hate house guests?
All right, so on night 2, we meet Quinn, a nurse recruiter from Nebraska.
A Quinn Martin production.
Brooklyn, a spicy cupcake and former Mrs. Texas. Matt, an urban cowboy from Georgia. Lisa, a caterer from Los Angeles. That's right. Thea, your VIP cocktail waitress from Florida. Cedric, your former Marine from Idaho. Takor, a small business owner from Georgia, who has been featured on the Kelly Clarkson show, so we gotta do it again. Kenny, a former undercover cop with the DEA. And Ainsley, we already talked about them. Try and keep up. So, first four, Quinn, Takor, Matt, and Leah, then Cohen, Cedric, Lisa, Kenny, and Brooklyn, and now they have to decide whether to put Ainsley in the house. The vote is 2-6, with Ainsley's dreams being truly crushed. Aww.
However, she basically tells the same eight house guests the same message as last night, as the last Wednesday's episode, that some game will be upgraded and some games will be downgraded. So what happened?
The two people who voted for the upgrade will remove chips from a wall and then put them into a motherboard while the entire set is rotating. While the downgrade competition, the contestants must transfer three discs into receptacles along tracks using only their faces. And as a result, Cedric and Chelsea were informed that their games were being downgraded once all of the house guests were allowed to meet, while Mackenzie and Quinn are getting upgraded. One of them will receive a deep fake HOH.
Which we'll get to that, and once we'll get America's veto. However, we have a head of house cold competition to deal with. Okay?
Yes, we do, and that is on episode 3.
So what happens is that the head of household competition is called New Rule. The BBAI will change the rules every round to make things happen. Okay, so what happens is that Ainsley says, form teams now, because the two downgraded people have to become mascots and are wearing computer chips, and they can't, what is it, they can't compete in the HOH veto competition and have no votes, right, if I remember correctly? They can't vote.
I believe you are correct, and by the way, Game Changers on line one. Yeah, we're down to Angela, Kenny, and Leah in the final round. So in the final rounds, the rule is they'll slide discs onto a playing board hoping to land on the highest scores. Only odd numbers count, and all even numbers count as zero. Leah lands on 26. That counts as zero. Angela scores 23, and Kenny completely whiffs it. So congratulations, Angela. You are the first HOH of the season. And who does she put on the block first? That would be, on day 4, Kenny, Kimo, and Lisa.
But hold on a minute. Hold on a second. The AI changed the game before you get him on the block. And Gordon, you like this twist, don't you?
I do for a number of reasons, but say exactly what's going on first and I'll explain.
Okay. So what happens is that the head of household will nominate three people to be in the head of household on the block. Okay. Now, if you get taken out, it still becomes three. What happens is that on eviction night, there is something called the AI arena, where three becomes two, where one person can save themselves, and the people don't know who's going to be on until right before voting. Am I correct?
Correct.
Yes, you are. Yes.
Okay.
So we go into the veto competition, which is called Spelling Bee. Competitors search for letters to spell the longest word possible. There are also delete titles, which allow letters to be deleted from the competition. Lisa spelt the longest word in the shortest amount of time, which means she wins the power of veto. And Lisa, obviously, used it to save herself. Angela, after really laying into Matt, I mean, absolutely...
Well, basically, what wound up happening here was that Matt basically threatened her, saying, well, if you put me up, I have the votes to get out, and then I'm going to put you up next week regardless, which is probably something you should not be telling the HOH. It should be something more of, yeah, well, don't put me up. I'll work with you. I'll be in your alliance. I'll do whatever you want me to do.
I'll be your best friend.
So you put me up, I'll put you up is a really, really bad idea, because all of a sudden it says to the head of house, well, if I keep you in the game, then bad things are going to happen to me, because clearly you're not part of my alliance. So no, up you go.
And there was a big thing where she called him, according to Parade Magazine, she said, and I quote, okay. Which she said, Matt, you must be so proud of yourself. I'm so flattered that I'm a threat to you. I'm so freaking flattered. Thank you, crazy eyes. She goes, and then she says, the group in the kitchen, your performance was absolutely great for a low-budget movie. I would love to for the house guests to know how Crazy Eyes very aggressively threatened me verbally in my room on our one-on-one. He tells me, you put me up, somebody will take me down, if not myself. And when I'm down, you better believe you're going up on the block. I would say, but it's very interesting. Her game show... Hit that whole Fender button again, please. Because Angela... That's right. She was on The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal, where she won $20,000.
Unfortunately, I do not have the Let's Make a Deal theme music on my board.
Right. However, but yeah, so she's a game show media hoe. Media pro, excuse me. So who are the three again? Matt, Kenny, and Chemo?
Correct. And one of them will be the first to visit the WLTI Losers Lounge couch and get a commemorative copy of Dennis Leary's Why We Suck.
Yeah.
Make everybody sure. Gets that the first time they are evicted.
Correct.
We have a new popcorn sponsor, but not really.
All right, we'll get there in a minute. But I was about to ask, Gordon, I mean, do you think Angela was enough? I mean, do you know, it all depends. But who do you think, how would you rank the people who are going home, per se?
Well, I'm going to chat about this more in Statistician's Corner. Do I think the house made the right move? Yes, I do. Matt was playing way too hard, way too quickly, which is not a Survivor that works. Big Brother, it does not. It's a completely different game plan in Big Brother. Yes, you do need to make alliances, but you weren't even a forementioned in terms of your gameplay. Matt shouldn't even be on the block, because if he kept his friggin' mouth shut, nobody would have cared. Kenny was the target this week, because him and Angela got into it. Except at least Kenny tried to form some sort of alliance with her. Matt pretty much said, well, if you put me up and I get out, I'm going to put you up. What? Wait, what? That's not what you should be doing in Big Brother. Especially since you don't have any guarantees to put anybody up. So clearly it's a red flag saying, hey, I'm your enemy. You may want to get rid of me now, because if not, I'm going to get rid of you. So yeah, that was dumb. It won't shock me if he leaves on Thursday. Because I would say this, he better win the AI challenge, because if not, he's gone.
Yeah. By the way, I'm seeing Kenny transform from the dog into the favorite to stay around. See what I did there? Because transform was the winning word in Spelling Bee.
There you go.
Well, let's put it this way. Kenny better make sure that if he doesn't win, Matt doesn't win. He needs to win or Chemo needs to win. If it's him versus Matt, he could have... I'm sorry, wrong. If it's him versus Chemo, he can have some issues. Him versus Matt, believe it or not, I actually think he's safe.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll see who gets the royal boots and the first space on the Loser's Lounge couch next week. But right now, for the penultimate time this season...
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
And we had two very decent runs, but not championship runs, but very decent runs. We had Jay Fisher, who was on four games. Unfortunately, Jay ended up losing to Neelesh Vinjamori, who ended up losing after four to Davey Morrison. And this is how it happened. Neelesh Vinjamori, a software engineer from Lionville, Pennsylvania, has $53,099, and he is up against Wendy Zabalas from Seattle, Washington, a mechanical engineer, and Davey Morrison, the actor and screenwriter from Provo, Utah. So University of Washington and BYU represent on this match. Going into the final, Neelesh has $50,400, Davey has $12,800, and Wendy has $5,800 as they go into a Final Jeopardy in which the category is U.S. place names. Your clue. This name for a national forest means fool and may be one Apache group's name for another group. It's also a problematic TV character. Now, I know this because fool, I am, as you all know, a Latin American of Latin American blood. I am made in America of Latin American parts, I like to say.
Would you call yourself Latinx?
All the way, bruh. All the way, bruh. So that being said, I know this, but Jason, who won an eighth of a million on primetime television, know this?
I do know because I've been called this a few times in Spanish class. Tonto means fool, and it was the problematic because Tonto was, Indian, Jay Silverheels played a very, stereotypical Indian character back in the day. Stereotypical. Yeah. Who did you have, Gordon?
I had what was Sitting Bull Bleep.
Sitting Bull Bleep.
Sitting.
Yeah, pretty much. Wendy gets it wrong. Davey gets it right. Neelesh gets it wrong. And Davey is our new champion as we head to the final two shows of season 40. And just to review, even with all the so-called problematic stuff, the Tournament of Champions was amazing. Our good friend Brian Henniger made it to the semifinals. Jeopardy Masters was out of control. Victoria Gross and Yogesh Rao showed that quizzers can be super champs as well. And we can't wait to see, and season 41 is taping right now as we speak, right?
Correct. People are getting into the Jeopardy experience. And if you want to get into the Jeopardy experience, it's as easy as taking the Anytime quiz. I always suggest you do that instead of, playing Keyboard Warrior. Jay will admonish you if you don't do it. So
exactly. Exactly. But as we record this, you have 2 days to get into the Pop Culture Jeopardy test. Get your theme of three and go to Jeopardy.com and you will find the Pop Culture Jeopardy test. Have your friends take it and maybe you'll be on too. Who knows?
Maybe. Do it. But one thing that they will probably not be casting for until maybe early next year is Press Your Luck, because the Whammy is back and, season 6 looks like it's going to be bigger than ever. For one, our good friend Chris Ahern, voice actor by the name of Neil Ross for the first four seasons has been the announcer of Press Your Luck, but since last year, our good friend Chris Ahern has been the announcer. He returns as the announcer in season 6, and also returning is the Big 40, only now it's called the Big 50, and you know what happens. If you hit the Big 50, you will win 50 of
something.
So, we open the season with Dennis, Peggy, and Gabby. A bit of bio for all three. Dennis is an opera singer from Tucson. Peggy's a middle school speech and language pathologist from Winfield, Illinois. And Gabby is a public health consultant, veterans affairs worker, and recent college grad in Houston. H-Town! So, in the first round, Dennis has the lead and the advantage with 24,126, followed by Gabby with $11,750 and Peggy with $10,440. But at the end of the second round, yikes, this is going to be a crazy one because we have a past spin from Gabby. She is betting her $28,583, all cash, mind you, against Dennis. He hits the Wambulance whammy, 1750, 3000, the opera whammy, 5,500, 4,750, 5,000 and a spin, 4,500, and he needs something with an additional spin to stay in the game. He hits 33,33. Gabby is your winner, and she goes on to the bonus round.
And I would you mind me taking the bonus round? Because I love this. I saw it last week. Okay, so the two rounds is a Williams Sonoma package of cookware and small appliances because she loves to cook. And a monthly Four Seasons Hotel brunch for 10 in Houston at the Four Seasons Hotel if she wants it, okay? So she hits 3K, 3250, 1500, the brunch, which is worth 14,400, and Big Bucks, which is, I believe, 10,000, if I remember right. Okay, so she has 32,150, all right? Then the second round prize is to send her parents to Paris on a first class trip there. Okay. Then she hits 25K to spin, 4,500, 5,000, 5,000, and 40,40 for 75,690. Her next all cash so far. Well, no, with the Four Seasons brunch too. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Right. She is not okay.
Right. So then the third round prize is an ultimate princess birthday bash for 101 at a mansion in Houston. And what is it? VIP tickets to the J. Cole tour, right? If I remember correctly.
Nice.
Okay. Unfortunately, she hits the jackhammer whammy. That's gone. 50K in a spin, prisoner whammy, but then she hits the personal trainer. Okay. Her final prize is a 25-day National Geographic Island tour. That included what? Bora Bora, Tahiti, a bunch of islands all around the world, which was amazing, okay? She hits the birthday bash, 75,000, 75K in a spin, and 15K, she's out. So she wins the Four Seasons brunch, the personal trainer.
She does not win the brunch because she whammied out.
Oh, no, she wins the personal trainer.
She wins the personal trainer, the birthday bash, and 75, 150, 165, almost over $180,000 in cash for a final total of $299,399. Wow.
Congratulations. Now, this coming week is the Deadpool and Wolverine edition with Deadpool and Wolverine whammies. And some Marvel-related prizes, I believe.
Yeah, I believe that is called corporate service.
That's called for synergy. Now, we mentioned that Kamala Harris is going to be on our show. She's going to appear right here.
Right here? Like right here?
Right here, right here. Because we did not have an episode this week for All Stars 9.
Well, we did, but at the same time, it was one of those episodes that just serves to make you feel good about the whole thing, especially this season, because this is part one of the grand finale variety extravaganza.
Okay.
And it begins with everybody getting $1,500 for participating.
Okay.
And it continues with a mini challenge where the queens have to give drag makeovers to various crew members.
Okay. And everybody wins. Okay.
Yay.
Yay.
Okay. So the final main challenge will be a variety extravaganza where the winners will receive not one, not two, but three badges, meaning anybody can still win. Okay. And the rest of the episode, the queens prepare for their performances and sit down with RuPaul for lunch. Okay.
At the end of the episode, East Madison has a twist. The queens will vote for one of their competitors to receive the double diamond. What that does is it will double the badges of the recipients and will be announced after all of the other badges are awarded. So this could be a game changer right here.
Well, let's look at it this way. Okay, Gordon, let's look at the scoreboard. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay. So, Gottmik. Now, remember, the winner gets three, correct?
The winner of the talent competition will get three badges. And then one of the queens, whoever everybody else votes for, will get the double diamonds, which will double the number of their badges. So they're basically voting for a winner.
Correct. Because
well, you're not voting for a winner. You're voting for who gets the opportunity to win.
Yeah. Mm, yes. Because
you still have the final lip sync, which will determine the winner.
Ah, there you go.
That is true. Okay, but let's put...
There are two ways to deal with this, but Jay, let's go back to you, and then I'll tell you the two different strategies here.
Okay, and then we'll do it. We'll talk about it again in Tactician's Corner, okay? But what I'm saying is that, let's say for argument, okay, you have Gottmik, Nina West, and Vanessa Vanjie can go up to five, okay? Because this is before you get a double. Okay. Mm-hmm. Angeria and Chanel can go up to six. And Georges and Plastic TR can go up to seven. And Roxy Andrews can go up to eight if they win the variety. Okay. Now, looking at this, the only two people who have not won competitions right now at this point are Nina West and Plastic TR. Correct? At this moment, because I'm looking at the chart.
Mm-hmm.
You are correct.
Okay. So I'm asking you, Gordon, who do you vote for and who do you think is going to win?
Well, the question really... here's the issue that you're going to have. The issue is, and the smart move is, you should be betting or voting based on what place you are in and what place the other people are in. That's how you should be betting. If you are in second place, meaning
that would Georgia or in Georgia, that's Georgia's and Plastic Tiara right now. That's four. They're in second place. Roxy's in first right now.
Right. If you're in second place, you want to vote for Roxy. And here's why. If you remember, the top three go to the finals. So if you vote for Roxy, since she's already ahead of you, you are pretty much going to be safe are sort of safe because then only one person can jump you, which will guarantee that you will come somewhere in there. And if you're tied for third, then whatever.
Right.
And obviously, if you win, or if second or third wins in terms of the tie, in terms of that, then all three of you advance and then everybody's happy. Yay. And then everybody else is miserable. Oh, no. But that's okay because you're putting up your spot. If you're a Roxy, it doesn't matter because even if two people jump you, you're still going to be in the finals.
Okay.
Because, again, final three. So there's that. If you are hedging somewhere in the fourth and fifth spot, you're gonna vote for somebody who's under you so that they can't jump you in itself or put yourself too far away for you to be able to jump the people that you need to jump.
Right, because two would only go to four.
Correct. And four will not be good enough to make it into the finals. So basically, the voting is really going to be depending on where you are in terms of the placement that you're in. So smart play, though, is if you're higher up, the smart play is to vote for Roxy Andrews because, again, she can't hurt you, and she's going to mathematically be in the finals anyway.
Okay, so who wins the whole thing? Is it still too early to guess or no?
I think it's going to be one or two people with the dark horse. I think it is Roxy Andrews to lose. She's been getting the winner's edit the whole entire time. She's done a great job of basically transforming her story and changing her image from evil person to person who they're just bringing along because they know that she can't win. And now she can actually win because he's actually shown up this time around. So I would say that. I would think Got Mick, who was very strong at the beginning, could be a dark horse. And I think Angeria can be a dark horse.
So this is still anyone's game to win.
Well, maybe sort of, kind of. I don't know. I think you're looking at those three.
Okay.
All right. Because, so
again,
what happened?
Mind, one of those people need to be in the finals from a mathematical standpoint, and maybe more than that.
Hmm. So Chico, what happened on tonight's Millionaire?
On tonight's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, we have, starting at the hot seat, Nicole Byer and Shashir Zameda, two comedians, two funny ladies, playing for the Downtown Women's Center. They make it to question 9 for $16,000. Since 2014, whose sonorous voice has been heard in Arby's ads insisting, "We have the meats"? A. Morgan Freeman. B. Samuel L. Jackson. C. Dennis Haysbert. Or D. Ving Rhames. Or E. Morgan Fairchild.
No, no, no. Okay. They said Dennis Haysbert. Oh, you. And left three lifelines on the table because we all know it's Ving.
That's what they're there for.
That's right. So then we get John Stamos and Dave Coulier, who used the Ask the Host at question 8. Get hiking in a weighted vest about a Guy Fieri question. They do the 50-50 on question.
They're up to 8,000. So they're up to 8,000 there.
So for 16, what U is the only U.S. state capital whose name shares no letters with the name of its state? A is Dover. B is Montgomery. C is Jefferson City. D is Pierre. They go 50-50 Jefferson City and Pierre. They guess correctly Pierre because that is South Dakota, if I'm not mistaken. No letters in there.
It is.
Okay. So they, for $32,000, they said, in a 2024 interview, Meryl Streep finally recalled the love scene in Out of Africa in which Robert Redford's character tenderly did what? Hand fed her figs, applied mud to her ankle, shampooed her hair, or wrapped her broken ankle. They went with Ask the Audience. wrapped her broken ankle was the lead, but they got it right with shampooed her hair. So they
even.
Right. So they get 64, 125. They get 250. Okay, they go for 250. Okay.
All right.
With this question. Although most people think there's only one, what masterpiece exists in five different versions? Four paintings, a black and white lithograph, The Starry Night, Nighthawks, The Scream, or Christina's World. They use their lifeline, who is Scott Winger, who played Aladdin, who voiced Aladdin, and was Steve Hale, a DJ's boyfriend. On Full House.
And eventual husband.
Okay.
On Fuller House.
Okay. Okay. They get the Scream. Okay. And they get now they go for $500,000. Okay.
Whee!
Since he reported since he reportedly hated the nickname Scarface, Al Capone's inner circle called him by what name, slang for stylish? Bimbo, Snorky, Nerds, or Sheba? They say...
Don't know.
Yeah, they split the cash for... What was the charity? The Child Help and the Children's Hospital of Michigan Foundation. Because they went out and they said, Snorky. The answer was B, Snorky.
Ooh.
No. They took the 250.
They took the 250, and they would have said Snorky. Would they have said Snorky?
They would have been. Yeah, they got it right. They would have got it right.
And that's why I said, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the millionaire trade continues. Everybody seems to be both enamored and sort of... What's one step below angered? Annoyed? They're annoyed by this season of Millionaire. Everybody's watching it, but it seems like it's lacking something.
Yeah, human contestants. Civilian contestants that are not millionaires who could donate for charity on their own.
I was just about to say, so everybody is Ainsley then?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly. But we need to do some capsule reviews, and we need to have a big disclaimer for this first one.
Yeah. Right? Right. People that we know are contestants, people that we know are on staff, and Jason Block auditioned for this very show.
So I am not going to grade it in the normal way. Okay? Yeah. We're going to grade it in a positives and negatives sort of way. Okay.
We always do that, though.
Yes, but we're not going to in this particular case, I am not going to assign a grade because I want the show to succeed. Unfortunately, I don't know if it will.
Well, okay? Here's the thing. Here's how we play Lucky 13. One person out of 13 is called up every half hour to answer 13 true or false questions. Then they'll have to choose a range of how many they believe they got right. If they get 1 to 3 right, they walk out of here with 5,000. 4 to 6, 15,000. 7 to 9, 25,000. 10 to 12, 100,000. If they get all 13, it's a million. However, to get the money, the player must accurately lock in their correct answer range. If they're anywhere above or below that range, they leave with nothing. However, there is also a twist. Players get to choose a lucky number in their range, and if the player gets exactly that number correct, they will walk away with twice the amount of money offered by the range they are in. So they're basically wagering on themselves to answer the most questions correctly.
Yes. So, yeah. Okay.
And there are a bunch of other twists and turns and bailouts along the way, but none of them are consequential.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're incredibly consequential, which we'll get to in a minute. So, Gordon, let's just explain it this way, okay? Gordon, number one, we don't know how the person who got voted, who gets picked up, got picked out. We have no idea.
Let's start with it. Let's start with the good, because there is some good here.
Okay.
Number one, the set is very nice.
Yes, it is.
That is amazing.
It's a very pretty set.
It's a shiny floor 24 set.
Number two, the host is very good.
Well,
the female host is very good.
Gina Rodriguez. I said that Gina Rodriguez could host this by herself.
She could. Yeah, we don't need Shaq is a hanger-on, really.
Shaq is serviceable.
He doesn't need to be there.
All right. And the questions itself are
very serviceable. Wait. He is serviceable for what he does.
Yes.
Granted, it's not much. He's playing the sidekick. But not only does he not have to be there, he almost looks uncomfortable being there. Almost like a, hey, you know what? Here's my hosting credit because you know that I'm executive producing the show. And so therefore, here's my thing. Love me. Make me happy.
Yep.
And the questions themselves are very challenging.
No, they ain't.
Hey, they're dumb.
Jason,
don't make me break out the hose.
Go ahead.
You said you were going to behave yourself.
Go ahead.
All right. They range from the esoteric to the aplomb, let's just say. They're either very easy or they're very hard, at least for the hoi polloi. Not for trivia minds like Jason, Gordon, and myself. But
No, I don't think so. I think they're dumb. I think they're easy. I think when you blow a question like Abraham Lincoln is the 13th president of the United States, come on, really?
It's easy if you know the answers, Jay. And again, this is not engineered for trivia minds. It's engineered for the hoi polloi. Regular people.
I'm going to be with Chico on this. I think the questions need to be general public questions. They don't need to be elite questions.
Right.
Because again, the show is not being tailored to the elite. They're being tailored toward the, I'm not going to say hoi polloi, I'm going to say traditional family play-at-home gamage that you should have. So I'm actually okay with the questions.
This is a family game. This is a family game.
Yes.
So I'm actually okay with the questions.
Okay.
Now for the bad.
Yeah, let's go for it. Just say it.
I'm sorry, any of the good, before I interrupt you, Jay, any of the good.
Now we're going to go over all the bad, and I think it begins with the show borrowing from a whole lot of other formats, and then mixing it up in a bit of a vegetable stew sort of situation, and this is the show that resulted.
I actually think that there are shows that they should have borrowed from on this. And I will go over, eventually I'm going to go over these as my suggestions on how to fix this for season two. But let's just say that you're hoi polloi. Okay. First of all, you got 13 contestants that are there. We don't know why they're there. We don't know why one is randomly selected to be there. So that in itself is a problem for me. It's sort of like a game show version of Chekhov's gun. If you have a gun, use it. If you have 13 contestants there, use them. Give us a reason for us to even care. Or like, why are they there? They're just sitting there. They're being the upholstery.
They're parts of the set.
There is... Yeah, exactly. Consider yourself part of the furniture. So that's issue number one. Here's another issue that I have, and again, this is fundamental flaws. At the beginning of the game, you are betting on yourself to say how much it's there. If if the answer is anything but 13, you already know in a half hour you're not playing for $1 million. So you have no shot at seeing somebody try to win $1 million. You also have no shot of anything, let's just say, for argument's sake, you said 7 to 9. So the most that the person can win is $50,000. So you already know for the next 25 minutes of your life, you're competing, you're going to watch to see if somebody can win $50,000 and not the million. Now, if you add in the fact that it's a buyout, that you have a buyout percentage when you get to that point, and you know that the buyout's going to show up when you get either close to the end or close to you losing, you're almost better off going for the million every single time, because you know at least in a buyout situation, you will get something very nice. The chances are, if you got 10 or 11, the buyout may be better than the $100,000 that you would win if you played it by the books for 10 to 12. So, again, there's some fundamental flaws here in the gaming and the gameplay. The magic number means absolutely nothing except for a chance to win more money. There's no strategy in this whatsoever. So, again, why? The deal that you have in terms of the deal or no deal aspect, really, at least with the first contestant, wasn't remotely explained properly or how it should be. So you have all these issues that you have. Anybody else want to add something to that?
No, Will.
By the way, Gina Rodriguez could host the show by herself. Shaquille O'Neal, what is he?
Oh, there's also something else we forgot, which is the corporate synergy called the Pepsi Play, where you can change one answer if you feel like it.
Yeah. So there's that.
Well, I don't mind that, but it shouldn't be at that point in the show. It should be near the end of the show. If the deal comes in, and now if you're sure or not sure of a question, you got a 50-50 shot at it. At least you'll get some sort of tension at that point. But here's what you needed to do. And here's how the game would have worked. And here's the best way to do it. The 13 contestants play. You ask all 13 questions. Whoever has the highest amount right gets to play, but you don't know how many you have right. And you play it a hot seat style. You get to each one that you have correct. When the correct one's over, if you have the one that's wrong, you're out. You lose. Bye-bye. And then that's when you put in the deals after every round. Simple solution, much better show.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah.
And then you're using the only two contestants.
Yeah.
Right. And this is, and you got.
Right now, for me, oh gosh, I wanted this show to be better than it was. As it is, it's a C minus, and I'm being very generous.
I'm not going to brag. Yeah, I'm at the T bar too.
But hey, if people watch it and enjoy it, fair play, you know?
Well, there are good parts of the show. You have the individual segments are very good. The questions are good. Gina is good. The Pepsi Refresh can be good if you stick it in the right spot. The Deal or No Deal can be good if you use it after each thing. And again, you can use the 13 contestants to play saying, hey, you know what? You're the one with the highest score you get to play. Did you win the million? We'll find out. That is a much better game show.
Yes.
Just in my opinion.
All right, what's next? There's something called Dress My Tour on Hulu. What do we got on that one?
Hey, remember Project Runway?
Yes.
Remember Making the Cut?
Yes.
So do I. It's basically this with the music bend. It's like each episode is going to have fashion designers competing for a $100,000 grand prize at the end, but they will have to design outfits for a different musician each week, with the idea that the musician will wear the outfit on his or her next tour. Among the musicians to be featured are Tony Braxton, Paula Abdul, Ty Dolla $ign, Coy Leary, French Montana, Jesse
That's Coy Leray.
Oh, Coy Leray. Sorry. French Montana, and this is why you're up on pop culture and I'm not. Well, you're up on music and I'm... Anyway, we lead off the season with JoJo Siwa. I could say a lot of things here, but I'm not going to. Anyway, before they design for JoJo, there is an elimination challenge. They have 8 hours to design an outfit for a dancer. And JoJo will serve as a judge alongside host Kate Upton, Emmy-winning costume designer Marina Toybina, and choreographer Lori Ann Gibson. So the good. The blueprint is there. And they use the blueprint. They don't add anything to it, and they don't take anything away from it. Which is also the bad, because they don't add anything to the blueprint, and they don't take anything away from the blueprint. So the show's greatest strength is also its greatest weakness. Although, Marina Toybina and Lori Ann Gibson, I'm going to give them credit for not playing inside baseball. Everything they say is relatable to the audience. So there's that. But of course, you know, bottom two designers, one of them's going home and until there is a win.
Okay. So here's my thoughts. The good production values are nice. I like the fact that they did get A-level celebrities on this. In terms of the performers, my biggest concern on that is maybe it's a little bit too similar in terms of certain people in certain genres. Like, I can easily see you thinking that you're going to make the same outfit or design for the same people on this. But again, I'll have to watch more episodes for me to be like, oh, okay, this is really different or it isn't. I like the fact that you have to do your homework. I like the fact that from a judging perspective, the singers are the judges, and you're making dance outfits as well. I mean, if you're missing Project Runway, this will be a pretty good substitute in terms of it. For me, this is B or B minus, somewhere around there. I'll say B.
It's a all B right. show.
I like it.
It's one of those shows that you, if you are a fan of Project Runway or Making the Cut, you are going to enjoy this. There is absolutely nothing there not to like. I just feel like I've seen it before. Granted, now it looks prettier because Kate Upton is not only a...
Mrs. Justin Verlander to you and me.
Yeah, she's a great presence on stage, and she is also very knowledgeable. I personally think she has a future in this business. But that's just me.
So finally, we have 30 seconds with AGT, because right now, these were the last auditions because we're actually going to go on a little bit of an Olympic break. Because as of Friday, the Olympics start in Gay Paris. So, So we started with Expo. Let me put it this way. Did any acts impress?
No.
Okay.
We did have a dance crew that was mentored by former winner Kenichi Abina in Air Footworks. But what can you say for an audition phase that ends with a guy from Australia who is attempting to set the world record for most underpants put on in 30 seconds?
And if that's your highlight of the show, that says a lot about the episode.
But no, that was not the highlight. The highlight was a twist that Terry introduced. Everybody is getting one more golden buzzer, and it is going to be used in the next round, which is going to be broadcast live.
Oh, and then their picks will go straight to the finals. My, you know what that, okay, do you know what that says to me?
That says, these are my favorites.
No. Gordon, you know what that really says, Gordon? That says,
Which hat are you putting on?
Here, you want mine? I'm done with it.
No. The cynical bastard hat says we don't have any real acts that we think are going to win the $1 million.
I actually think it's more like we need to pad and bring in more people. Some of them will win the million. That just doesn't mean that, you know, I think you're sort of right on that, Jay, but it could also be a padding thing as well.
Little column A, little column B.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, put it to you this way. It's just, yeah, exactly. Because it's to me, it goes to show you that, I know AG Tilly's still the number one show, but man, have they really gone down in what they are, you know? Just saying.
It could be worse. It could be Ninja Warrior who is casting for something and eliminating the final climb to the top of the railing.
On that note, we need some Tactician's Corner, and we'll get that in Act 3. But first, Chico.
First, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. My name is Chico Alexander, 6 days with 5-1. You're home, for We Love to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different things that the Big Brother house would really need to worry about in terms of contestants if AI really controlled the Big Brother house.
Ooh, all cold showers. Over hot pool. Over hot pool.
No air conditioning.
The stove doesn't work.
The lights are flickering.
I'm sorry?
We'll be back after this.
This is We Love to Interrupt.
There's a place to share gossip about the office party fun and a place to share the story you tell everyone. There's a place to share a laugh about when things went wrong and a place to share the video of you dancing to your song. There's a place to share spare change, lunch, and your time. But we could all be better at sharing how we're feeling inside. 76% of employees have struggled with at least one issue that affected their mental health. When you share, you're not alone.
Brain Vision News is presented by the Big 50 Superstore. It's a store where you have anything and everything that you could possibly want, as long as you are willing to buy 50 of it at the same time. 50 toilet papers, 50 pencils, 50 hamburgers, 50 copies of College Football 25, 50 desk calendars, 50 rolls of tape, 50 t-shirts,
50 cases of Heineken.
But enough about your free time, Jay. That is the Sonic 50 Superstore. Now opening a location near you. Tell them Elizabeth Banks sent you.
So, we got some news and not a lot of time. So, Gordon, if you would.
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morse. As always, you can follow Doug Morse on all social media at Rock104RockTracks, at RockTracks Productions, and at Doug Morse Games. And don't forget to listen to Doug Morse every Sunday as he hosts Rock Tracks on WXRR Hattiesburg, Rock 104, 104.5 on your FM dial, and all over the known
multiverse
on Rock 104.
I love that you can still use that. it's so good.
Shout out to Dan Larson of Secret Galaxy for that, by the way. Yeah, so that's rock104fm.com. The Odyssey app and the Rock 104 app.
And your bat is shaped like an eye.
Yeah, my bat is an eye, and I wonder why. Okay, so CBS is shuffling its summer schedule. Beginning tomorrow, the Big Brother Wednesday and Thursday editions will move to 8 o'clock. The Sunday will remain at 9 o'clock. And beginning Friday, Let's Make a Deal Primetime will move to 8 o'clock. And Lingo will move to 9 o'clock. So, your schedules starting, let's say, July 25th on Thursday is Big Brother, followed by Young Sheldon, Ghosts, and Fire Country. Wednesday, starting July 31st, that's next Wednesday, Big Brother, The Real CSI Miami, and Tracker. And then Friday, starting August 16th, is Let's Make a Deal Primetime, Lingo, and Blue Bloods. Don't ask me why. I don't know.
Well, maybe because they're trying to counter-program the Olympics.
Maybe. Maybe.
You know, just the way I see it.
CBS is scheduling Price is Right at night for select Mondays to play opposite Monday Night Football.
Well, that's kind of cool. Gordon, you sent me a date email. It was really a date text, you know? Not much going on right this.
Not much new stuff going on because nobody wants to do that against the Olympics.
Nope, they do not. Which start Friday, which is also when the preview of The Anonymous, which I've seen a lot of ads for on Monday Night Raw this week, and the season finale of Jeopardy and Syndication, and we're gonna be sad for about 6 weeks. I don't know what they're gonna show. Probably the TOC or something. I'm guessing
they'll probably show the TOC. They'll probably show Masters. They'll probably show Celebrity Jeopardy. Who knows?
Who knows? And then on Monday is the season premiere of Nick Cannon's Presents Wild and Out with guest Nore. I have a question, Gordon. Do you think Wild and Out is a little past its prime now? I'm just asking. Just a thought.
Well, it's cheap programming, and the ratings are still there. And it's been a good platform of people that's gotten out of that and in the hosting and doing other things, like Mikey Day and Cat Williams.
True.
As well as others.
And D-Ray. And D-Ray. Don't forget D-Ray.
And D-Ray. Cannot forget D-Ray.
Pride of Babel, Carolina, Apeon, Crockett.
And also DC Young Fly. And bunch of others. And but let's talk, you know what, I didn't realize you were going to put this here, actually.
Well, I had to because what else am I going to put here? Yeah, people like stamps.
Hit it.
Yeah, for that app though, we're going relatively low tech and old school. We're talking about snail mail this week because this week the U.S. Postal Service, in honor of what would have been Alex Trebek's 84th birthday, have issued the Jeopardy stamp. If you remember?
It's not the Jeopardy stamp. It's the Alex Trebek stamp, specifically Jeopardy.
Well, if you remember, it pays homage to the host and the answer question format. On the stamp is written, like it would be on the screen, "This naturalized U.S. citizen hosted the quiz show Jeopardy for 37 seasons. And underneath, side down, of course, would say,
who is Alex Trebek?
Right.
And there was a ceremony this week at Sony Pictures Studios with Gene Trebek, Ken Jennings, and a bunch of people who went there. And our good friend Bob Bowden was there, and a bunch of LA-based people who we know. And they also had his favorite chocolate cake, because that was Alex's favorite. And I actually watched the video. And it was a very moving ceremony. It really was.
It really was. I was emotional.
I really was too. But that was absolutely one of the smartest things to happen this year. This, not so much.
That's dumb.
Are you smarter than Warner Brothers Discovery?
Yeah. Remember how they spent all that money just to merge? And now they're, you know, basically bleeding out money. And so in order to boost the stock price, they are mulling a split.
Because the stock price as of, well, today was $8.34. And it is down from its 52-week high of $14.76 because David Zasloff, play that's dumb again, please.
That's dumb.
Okay, is trying to sell assets into a new company because the group, Warner Brothers Discovery, has a near $40 billion in debt. Ouch.
And that's from Financial Times. And that's from the Financial Times.
Yeah.
And all I can say is, you know, when I was growing up, we were upper lower middle class, and my mom and dad, they all said, hey, if you can't afford anything, you can't have anything. It is becoming painfully obvious now that neither Warner Brothers nor Discovery could have afforded to merge. And yet they did it anyway.
Mm.
And all of this, when David Zaslav, in his genius, said, you know what? We don't need the NBA. And NBC's all right, fine. You don't need the NBA. I'll take it off your hands. And then he says, wait a minute. I will match your offer for the NBA. The NBA is like,
nope. We're good. So that's, you know, that's dumb. But literally, we need some thirst, because the thirst of the Haterade is legit Haterade. For real. Now, according to the New York Times and multiple sources, including, then this is an NAWC crossover. Our good friend Logan Paul, who is currently the United States heavyweight champion and will be facing LA Knight at SummerSlam, is being sued by the U.S. Olympic Committee. Why? Because they were trying to promote the Prime energy drink or Prime hydration drink using words like Olympic and Team USA without the U.S. Olympic Committee and Team USA's permission to do so. Oops.
I have the text of the lawsuit. This comes from the BBC. It said that consumers could be misled into thinking there is an agreement between the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee and Prime. The organization said it has issued a cease and desist letter to Prime, but the drinks brand had continued to market the product using the branding.
Gordon? Can I use the Simpsons terms? Money will be exchanged for goods and services.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, almost, not quite, but almost similar to the whole Warner Brothers, TNT, well, we're moving the NBA, and no, we're not, and yes, we are, and no, we're not, and no, we're going to sue you.
Mm-hmm. No, here's what's going to happen. Logan Paul will make a very nice donation to the U.S. Olympic Committee. And they'll say, we're sorry, and, well, you know, that's basically what's going to happen. That's what I think. Some sort, you know, everything will be happy, and Logan Paul will not have to worry about anything when we send him and David Zaslav where?
They are not going to France, but they are going to England. Because we've got a couple of shows to talk about. First is a version of Love is Blind coming to Netflix in August 7th, and it is going to be Love is Blind UK. They've unveiled the 30 singles that will take on the challenge looking for love there. Real-life couple Matt and Emma Wills will be hosting the show, and It will follow the same format as the U.S. version. Our second one revisits a show that we have not seen on VH1 in years.
Okay.
10 singles, seeking romance in a tropical setting, facing challenges as new arrivals join, potentially disrupting existing relationships, and all while they are wearing absolutely nothing but a smile.
Getting naked?
Dating Naked UK, and it'll premiere on Paramount Plus August 23rd, and probably as an enticement for you to pay all that Paramount Plus money. The show will contain full nudity with no blurring or pixelation.
Ah, so we're going to see.
That's the first show that has done this. Don't forget, there's Naked Attraction, among others, that are also non-pixeled.
Right.
Correct.
Yes, that basically we're going to see the shortcomings of the show. Anyway. But seriously, we're going to get some naked media pros with that, definitely.
In this week's Media Pro Report, at 50, Wayne Brady is a new dad. Congratulations to him.
That, by the way, that reveal on his new reality show, which dropped this week.
Yes. Taylor Tomlinson is going on tour with her comedy. Ashley Iaconetti and Jared Hibon welcomed their second son. Having conquered the world of game shows, Patton Oswalt is bringing his superhero comic talents to superhero television. Orphine Love Dion is grateful to be alive after deadly LA car accident. And Chloe Beach has gone from a player to a host, as she will host Sneaky Links for Netflix. But none of them are your pros of the week, and they're actually amateurs, because the Paralympic Games is the pinnacle of amateur competition.
Correct.
And two of the amateurs competing in Paris this year are Survivor alumni.
Oh, that's cool! All right, talk about this. I like this.
Ryan Medrano and Noelle Lambert, who appeared together on Survivor 43 back in 2022, both qualified for the Paralympic Games in Paris this summer. That's August 28th to September 8th. Medrano, who was born with cerebral palsy, will compete in the 100-meter T38. And Lambert, who lost her leg in a moped accident in 2016, she was originally a sprinter in Tokyo. Now she will be a long jumper. So there you go.
By the way, are the Paralympics in Paris as well?
Yes, they are. And they are in Paris after the Olympics. Hence, Paralympics.
Yeah. No. I understand that. I'm just saying I have always admired the Paralympic athletes. I think they are incredible human beings and show incredible just guile and everything else I could say, you know?
And once again, they will be digging deep, but this time they will be digging deep for their country, America.
Indeed.
And those are your hoes.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
I'm hitting the button right here. And okay. In our third round, we're going to get some knowledge from the tactician himself. Right, Chico?
That is right. Gordon has once again invited us into his tactician's corner when we return here on 5&1's WLTI. Stick and stay. We'll be right back.
WLTI has been brought to you by Jurassic Dork. That's right. We've got dinosaurs all over the place. Some of them are running for Congress. Some of them are running your game shows. Some of them are just really, really old. Maybe we need a newer, younger female model version of it. Just saying. That is Jurassic Dork coming to a television station near you. There's a new generation of hosts and things out there.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
And we are passing the torch to the new generation whose voices are begging to be heard.
Agreed. But Gordon, we need you. We need your brain. We need your brain.
It's sexy brain time, and it's also time for Statistician's Corner, where we go over and we analyze some people's play and see how well or how poorly that they are doing. So we're going to start with addressing the elephant in the room, and we're going to go with all three grades of all three people that happen to be up for potential elimination. That is Chemo, Kenny, Matt. Let's start. Jay.
Well, I mean, Chemo is, honestly, he's the most, shall we say he's collateral damage, really, between the whole Kenny and Matt thing. He's just there.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He's just, you know, I'm the Hawaiian guy, you know. He's just too, you know, he's not.
He's not, well, I think what Jay's trying to say is, Chemo is not an active participant as of yet.
Right.
Well, and the problem is that you have is this. Part of it is he didn't really do that good of a job of making alliances where he really needs to, which is why he's there. I mean, he is harmless, which is good, I guess, in that way. He's trying to be a floater, which is good in that sort of way. But not when you're targeting floaters. So, he, for me, he gets a C minus.
Right. He's right now, it's still way early to determine right now, but Chemo needs to find someone or else he'll be gone sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Kenny. I'm sorry, Kiko. Go.
Well, I was going to agree with you on the grade there. Okay. But yeah, now let's talk about Kenny, who, let's be honest, was the most abrasive in the house until Matt opened his full mouth. That comes to that. And that goes.
Yeah, I think Kenny needs to pray that Matt does not get himself off the block, because if he doesn't, Kenny is going home. And again, taking off the head of household is a really bad way of starting yourself out in Big Brother. And he's sort of been freaky deaky, and that's not a good way. D for me.
Yeah.
Here is what you know. And this is a total stereotype trope. I'm a cop who I'm not going to tell I'm a cop, but then act like a cop for most of the show. Right? Duh! Am I wrong?
You are not wrong.
So it's a D. Yes.
Overall, Kenny gets a D for being incredibly abrasive, showing...
No. He's getting a D for being a D. That's just saying, okay? Right?
That's it. That's it. That's the grade. That's the judgment. That's all we need to say about that. And
next,
you know what?
Finally, last and least, it is Matt, and I expect him to see him out the door on Thursday, so he'll get an F from me for futility and fail.
Yeah,
right.
That could have really made a game move. Instead, he made a dumb move. So overall, Matt gets an F.
Yep.
All right, next one, Chico.
Next one. You know what? I'm gonna bring it back to Press Your Luck, because There was a very good chance that with the right spin, Gabby could have won the 500,000 parlay to a million. But she left one round early. What would you give this grade? But she still had two whammies to play with.
Honestly, at that point, I'd actually give her a B, because that was the right play to do, really. It really was. It wasn't terrible.
Yeah, I would give her a B for a different reason, which is she got all the personal stuff that she was looking for, well, most of it. So, yeah, that's a good bailout point.
Yeah, she does get a B, because she was looking for that birthday bash. She got it. She, and in her mind... she didn't need much of anything else. I mean, she got the birthday bash, the personal trainer, and almost $200,000 in cash. So, what else is there?
Can I play? Can I play in this one? Because we don't talk about this show.
You can play.
Good. We haven't talked much about claim to fame yet, really. But there is this guy. But the contestants are starting to lie and play the game a little more, especially Dedrick. What do you give his gameplay so far?
For me, it's average, so I'll give him a C. I think the good part about the lying, yeah, it's very deceptive. The bad part about the lying is that it continues to put you back up into the chopping block if you're not playing like a nice human being, and Dedrick seems to be having that issue.
Okay.
Yeah, Dedrick, and you know what? Dedrick, If you ask me, he's playing the game. He's playing the game he was there to play. So, if you ask me...
I'm waiting for him to say that he was a nephew of Rob Mariano. Just say, add Rob Mariano into another game show.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say this. He's lucky he's there because he got saved this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, which is why I'm giving him a C. I mean, yes, the line is important. It is absolutely important in this sort of game. But making enemies is something that needs to be avoided, and he's not very good at avoiding it.
That's true. Okay, let's see. Gordon, do you have one? Another one?
I do. And we're going to play here a little bit on Jeopardy, and I'm going to go backwards a little bit. Drew Bassel.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Waiting for this one.
Okay.
I was waiting for
this. Raiders gameplay.
Man.
Taking the totality of his gameplay and not just one different move. We all know the move. But overall, he gets a B because he was very, very versed on the buzzer. He had a broad knowledge base. He knew how to play the game. And obviously, you don't get to 10 games, 9 of them won, without knowing how to play the game. He made one costly error, but I'm not going to fault him that much for it, even though it ended his impressive run, an otherwise impressive run.
It's a B as well. Actually, it's an A minus because here's the thing. When he bet, he goes. I'm just gonna say he went bleep. I bet wrong. He screamed it. He knew it and he owned it. When you own something on a game show, that is important to me. So A minus, even though it was not exactly smart.
It wasn't, but it made for great television, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
It did. Yeah, I'm gonna go up the middle. B plus. He's really good. I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with, and I think he's going to pick up from that mistake and be like, all right, well, I can't do that now.
No.
So he will know for next time. He will be better, but he was pretty darn good. B plus. Chico, next one.
All right, let's go to Vegas, shall we?
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, lucky 13 time. Now that you know how to play the game, let's go to the first person to play it. That would be Barrett Chesley out of Chicago, who went with a 7-9 range and a 9 lucky number.
And got 10.
And got 10 right.
That's okay. Okay. This is not about the show, but I'm rating him, and it's an F, and I will tell you why. Because the fact is that you should never undervalue yourself. You should always overvalue yourself, especially in a game like this. And I'm not going to tell any tales out of school, but let me just say this. That is where you need to be, 10 to 12, always.
I agree with Jason. He played the game, but he did not give himself any credit, did not do himself any favors in a game where you have to give yourself all the credit in the world and really do yourself a whole lot of favors. Sorry, Barrett.
I'm also going to add this. There was 2 true or false questions left. He should have known he had them both right, and therefore he should have bailed out and taken the deal. So F for a different reason, because he should have walked out of there with some money.
Well, yep.
All right. Last one.
I will take the last one.
Okay.
Let's talk about Pat Sajak. Ooh. And Wheel of Fortune. Now, obviously, he has no longer decided to host the syndicated version, but he is going to go back and host the celebrity nighttime version of the show. Rate that.
You're not going to like me on this one. C.
It doesn't matter whether I like you or not like you.
No, it's C, and I'll tell you why. If, and again, this is all about perception. Okay? And I have nothing against Pat Sajak. I think he's one of the greatest of all time. But if you're saying you're going, go. You know what I mean? Just go. I love him. And I want it, and I'm going to watch it. Don't get me wrong. I'll watch it for one last run. But if this is Ryan's gig to have, let it be Ryan's gig all the way on. That's all.
Chico?
Yeah, I mean, Pat Sajak definitely is one of the best of our age. That being said, he said it was time for him to pass the torch. So if he's going to pass the torch, he needs to pass the torch. He needs to pass the torch to a new generation of hosts, a younger generation of hosts. He needs to have love of format and love of himself to know when it's time to leave.
I'm going to go B, and I'm going to throw this at you. What if part of the reason why Sajak is still staying on and is doing Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, almost sort of like a Ken Jennings Mind the Alec play, where we just put on the magnifying glass on Ryan Seacrest and go, well, we think he's going to do a really good job. But if he doesn't, we can always pull Pat Sajak back in and have him finish it out in January and go, just kidding.
No, 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 this is different. This is totally different because Ryan Seacrest is an incredibly talented broadcaster. I know you're trying to throw a little monkey wrench in there, but I am not falling for it. No.
You do not like my monkey.
Wrench. No.
Do you love your monkey or do you love me, Gordon?
I love all of you. I accept you and your monkey.
And I love, run. You know what? That's an underrated, that was an underrated George Michael song. Just saying. Anyway.
So that has been Statistician's Corner. That was fun. We'll have more coming later on this year, maybe even later on this summer.
But right now, we're going to have to speed things up because I'm looking at the clock on the wall and it is way past my bedtime. So we're going to get to it right after we get to this song We Love to Interrupt.
WLTI has been brought to you by Ainsley for President 2024. She's in the Big Brother house. Let's put her into a bigger house. One that could absolutely use some intelligence, artificial or otherwise. That is Ainsley for President.
I'm Ainsley, and I approved this message.
Oh, and by the way, something we forgot to talk about the woman who played Ainsley is a multi-million follower on TikTok. Her name, I'm going to pull it up here. Her name is, yes, here it is. It is Cosette Renab. She's got over 2 million followers on TikTok. Okay. Very cool. I like that. I like that a lot. That's cool.
You know this?
What? Did I know it? No, I haven't.
How does she know this?
She knows it. She was the one who... She was, yeah, she got credited for it. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because they, yeah, exactly. So, on that note, it's time for a speed round, and let's start it Now, Big Brother, it's who's going home?
Bye, Matt. Bye, Matt.
Well, it's a welcome Matt for a reason, isn't it?
It's a welcome Matt. Now it's a farewell Matt.
Yeah, yes. So Matt has lost his welcome.
All right. Press your luck. Does anybody win the million?
No, but I'm looking forward to Deadpool and Wolverine night. It's going
to
be fun.
I'm also looking forward to Deadpool and Wolverine night. By the way, no spoilers. No spoilers. Okay.
Well, I heard that intimacy scene between Dazzler, Miss Deadpool, and Dogpool was really interesting. Just saying, not.
I'll take things that I really don't want to be looking at for 200 million.
Yeah, there you go.
But speaking of which, right, Jeopardy, are we going to see anything amazing? Jeopardy, are we going to be seeing anything amazing from the next two episodes?
No. No, they're just pulling the season out. That's what they're doing right now.
All we're doing is getting ready for the summer. That's all we're doing. Drag Race. Who wins?
I'm gonna go with the person. It's funny because I thought at the beginning of the season it was gonna be Gottmik. I don't think it's gonna be Gottmik anymore. I think it's gonna be Roxanne Andrews.
Yeah, I do. She's got the most wins and the winner's edit, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And of course AGT is on break. Do we have an email?
No, but if you want to send us some, you can hit us up at our email, WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com, or you can follow us on all social media, GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
And I am at GFNN Haterade.
And the network, of course, is at 5&1. That's the number 5, ANDONENET, which has everything going on network-wide, including something that is dropping next week. Carl has dug into the archives and has produced both old material and new material for the new series, 5&1's React Tracks, where we take ripping to a whole new level. This is for the terminally online YouTuber and all of us. It is 5&1's React Tracks. Go to 5&1.net for more info on that. What's going on the NAWC, Jay?
On the NAWC, we're going to be talking about the road to SummerSlam. Some main events for All In. Drew McIntyre deleting a photo because to troll another wrestler. And a very interesting unprotected chair shot at Blood and Guts on AEW this week. And, of course, AEW pulling a gimmick at San Diego Comic-Con this week. But we'll talk about all that as we head towards SummerSlam and All In a week. Or SummerSlam is a week from Saturday. So we will be talking about that. Chico, about the BS. Couple of weeks, right? Thereabouts? Or actually, yeah. Are we going to do it next week?
No, we've already done it. We're going to be doing another one as we get closer to preseason, and then we're going to be doing the live draft of our league.
Aren't we 5 weeks away from the season?
Crazy, ain't it?
What?
Crazy, ain't it?
Yeah, I know. Crazy indeed.
So, Meanwhile, over the panel in the UVA, nothing's going on until... Well, actually, that's not true. We've got a couple of title matches going on this weekend for North versus South at Battle Bowl. Should be fun.
Mm-hmm. That will be very... Of course, UVAtoday.info. Talk about the Olympics on... It was a thing, right?
Yeah, we have two Olympic episodes. One was an extended cut of a show we did a few years ago, the Olympic Triple Cast. You had to pay a three-digit amount to get every medal from every game. Nowadays, you have a subscription to Peacock, and what is that? $13.95 a month? $14.95 a month?
Depends. I think it's $9.99 a month for the commercial free version.
Yeah, and now since it's after midnight, we have oddities at the Olympic opening ceremonies. We talk about everything from a rocket pack to a ring that will not open to a shirtless Tongan who drives all the ladies crazy.
I remember that. That was during the last Olympics, if I remember correctly.
Yes. So there is that, and it's all at itwasathingontv.com. Another Olympic episode will be recording shortly, so be ready for that.
We will. So what's happening as we head towards August?
As we head toward August, we are going to talk about Deadpool, Wolverine, and the Whammy. We're also going to be talking about who wins Drag Race. We're going to be talking about the final game of Jeopardy of the year. And we're going to roll it out. Who will get the first seat of the Loser's Lounge couch? And why do you say Matt? So, all of that is happening next week. But for now, for Gordon Pepper and Jason Block and everybody at 5&1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. And we thank you for yours. Special shout out to everybody at Agnes Scott College and Six Flags Over Georgia. Game over, and spread the love.
Good night.